Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Judges chapter 6 is where we're going today. We're finishing up our series called the Called Series. The purpose of this series is to help us understand that we are the called of God. We are called of God. The life of Gideon is a perfect example. Gideon is the guy that is a perfect example that we can use to show us that we are all called of God. Turn to somebody and say, "You're called." Turn to the person on the other side and say, "Answer the call." See, God saw Gideon and thought something. See, by all natural standards, Gideon should not have been called of God. He went through them all in chapter 6. He said everything that disqualified him. He said, I am in the smallest and the weakest tribe in Israel. I'm of the smallest family in the tribe of Manasseh in Israel. And then not only that, I am the youngest in my family. You see, authority did not start with the youngest. It started with the oldest. That's why the older sibling always lords it over the younger sibling, right? Right? My teenagers are like, "Yup." I come from a family where I've got an older brother and an older sister. My sister is 6 years older than I am. My brother is 3 years older than I am. And I got to tell you something. They remind me every single day who's in charge. At least when I was a kid, they did. Are y'all with me? Y'all ever have any family members like that? We're going to pray for them in the name of Jesus. And later we'll lay hands abruptly on them. But listen, while Gideon hid and thought he was forgotten, see, God saw him and thought something different. Gideon hid and thought he was forgotten and hidden from everything and everyone, including his destiny. God called him to do incredible things and let Gideon know he was seen right where he was. He was called and seen. Everybody say, "I'm called and seen." Yes, if you're wondering, I am doing a little review for those that were not here the past 2 weeks. But see, through Gideon's life, we can also see that we are called and seen. No matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, no matter where you are in your situation, no matter how deep you think your life is buried, God sees you. He knows you. And He's called you. Everybody say, "Called and seen." God sees you where you are. But He sees past who you are. Let me say that one more time. Let that sink in. He sees where you are, but He sees past who you are. God does not peg you into one place and leave you there. He's called you to be more. He's called you to be more than just a pew sitter. He's called you to be more than just a church attender. He's called you to be more than just a casual Christian. He's called you to be a disciple, a follower of Him, and someone that does great things for Him. But it wasn't enough that Gideon was called to do great things. He had to answer the call. Everybody say, "Answer the call." He had to say yes to that call back to personal relationship. That meant dealing with his own house first. We as a church, everybody say, we as a church have to answer the call to relationship before we can answer our call to destiny. We have to answer our call to be in a relationship with Him. We have to deal with our own idols, no matter whether we built them, whether they were built by us, or whether they were built by our ancestors, by our parents, our grandparents, or those before. We have to return God to His rightful place on the altar of our heart. It doesn't matter what our parents did. It doesn't matter what our grandparents did. It doesn't matter what those that come before us did. What are you going to do now? When we are called, we're called to stand up and say, "This stops with me. Alcoholism stops with me. Pornography stops with me. Abuse stops with me. Depression stops with me. Anxiety stops with me." And we have to take those things off the altar of our heart and say, "That no longer defines me. I put God back at His rightful place." If you're with me, say, "I am." Listen, that answer to the call will always cause a reaction as well. People will react to how we respond to the call. But today is about dealing with those fears and doubts that we carry, and that fears and doubts once we accept the call of God on our lives. Today I want to talk to you about doubting the call. Has anybody in here, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to raise my hand right away. Has any of you ever doubted the call of God on your life? You doubted. I've got one guy that used to be in a church that I was in. He would come up to me, or the pastor one, every single Sunday. I just don't know if I'm saved. He'd say the sinner's prayer every single Sunday. Listen, if that's what it takes to get you in right with God, say the prayer every single Sunday, raise your hand, whatever it takes. But don't ever doubt the fact that God loves you, that he cares for you, that he died for you, and that he rose on the third day. But listen, we all go through times where we doubt the call, where we doubt the things that God, and a lot of people will say, well, if you doubt God, then you're sinning against God. Let me tell you something, we're human. There are certain times where we're going to doubt some things in our own mind. Our human nature is going to try to take over. Acceptance of a responsibility does not mean that we carry the responsibility with ease. Shelby, my daughter, who is having the baby, let me restate that one more time. My daughter, Shelby, when we found out that she was going to be born, Amy and I, we were living in Florida. We were excited, and we were going about our day and everything, and Amy came to me. I was cooking dinner that night. I can tell you what I was cooking. I was cooking deer meat, y'all. Somebody had given us some. It was good. But I was cooking that night, and she came to me and said, I got news for you. I said, what's that? And I'm just sitting there cooking away. She said, we're going to have a baby. I went, what? First reaction was excitement. I'll admit it. I was excited as I could be. And I was excited that I'm sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to do some awesome things. I'm going to take that kid and I'm going to teach it how to do things. And I'm going to teach that baby how to be a man of God, a woman of God. I'm going to teach him how to pull pranks on their mama. I'm going to do all kinds of stuff. And I got so excited. But then there come time, I accepted the responsibility of being a dad. But then I got to thinking, am I going to do this right? Anybody ever doubt yourself when it comes to raising your kids? Come on. Listen, I thought I had it all figured out to begin with, but there's times in my life where we were raising our kids where God just sort of, I mean, not God, but there were times where I felt like I was like a fish out of water. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to handle things. There were situations that came up, and I'm going, God, are you sure you want me in charge of this little life here? Are you sure you want me in charge of this one over here? You realize how much I mess up. You realize how many mistakes I make. You realize how broken I am. You realize how stupid I can be sometimes, right? Anybody ever told God that? You realize how dumb I can be, right, God? Listen, there were some days where I would think I'm okay. Others, not so much. But the thing is, I never shied away, but I admit I doubted God's choice in me to be a father sometimes. It's the same thing in ministry. Do you know I struggle every Sunday before I get up here before this pulpit? I fight with doubt in my mind. Amy gets on to me all the time. She yells at me, or she doesn't yell at me. But she gets on to me because she says, your inner critic needs to shut up. Because I am my own worst critic. I go home and I do what I call game film day. On Sundays, I go home and I watch the service, y'all. You know why? Because I want to better myself. I want to do better at what I do. I want to find out what I can do to improve on how I can minister, how I can touch lives, how I can pray over people. I go, and you know what? That's not a bad thing. But if I ever doubt the call of God, there's been times where I said, God, are you sure you want me to pastor this church? Are you sure you want me to lead this worship? Are you sure you want me to preach this word right here? Because this is hard. This is tough. This is a struggle that I have. How can I do this? And there's times where I've doubted myself in ministry. Is there anybody in here that can relate to that? You've doubted yourself at times. Listen, Gideon may have accepted his calling, but it didn't mean he wasn't nervous about it. Gideon's story continues the rest of the chapter in verses 33 through 35. It says this: "Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel." These are the people that were coming to steal their food. It was harvest time. They were coming to steal all their food and take all of their grain and to kill everyone that they could find. But in verse 34 it says, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon." Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God covers us in time of need? "The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abizarites were called," that's his people, "were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they went up to meet them." In other words, they went up on the hill at Jezreel, at the valley of Jezreel. They set camp on one side. The enemy set up a camp on the other side. This was a famous place of battle. It was a place where many battles took place in the Old Testament. But they set up ready for battle, and they went up to meet them. You got to imagine, Gideon's faith was at an all-time high. Things have been going great for him. He had just gone through all these things, and God had seen him through them. He had a new relationship with God. Any of y'all remember the day you got saved and how you felt like you could have charged hell with a water pistol? Come on, somebody. He was so excited about what God was doing and everything. And God had seen him through great things. He's had this new relationship and this new calling on his life. He had just done this. He had just had a face-to-face with God himself where he said, "God, if you will just wait right here, I'll go back and I'll prepare some food for you and I'll bring it back to you and this will be the covenant with us." And what did God do? They had a Holy Ghost barbecue, y'all. He took his staff and touched the food, and the food was consumed by fire. And that's when he realized, oh, this is actually God that I'm talking to. He had a Holy Ghost barbecue where he had a face-to-face encounter with God. I remember when I had my face-to-face encounter with God when I got my life right with him. I remember that I floated around for probably 3 days feeling like nothing could touch me, nothing could hurt me, nothing could take me on. But I remember getting a phone call from my youth pastor, Larry Henderson, who spoke here last November. I remember him calling me and saying, "Hey, I know you just got saved, and I know things are going great, but I want you to prepare because doubt's about to creep in. Doubt's going to come against you, and the enemy's going to try to convince you it's not real, that you're not called, and that there's nothing different about you." Now, he wasn't trying to bring me down. He wasn't trying to hurt me. What he was trying to do was get me to realize, hey, doubt is something I'm going to have to deal with. Church, can I tell you something? Doubt is something we have to deal with. Again, Gideon had just publicly defied his father and cut down the altars and pulled down the other altars. He did it at night because he was fearful. And he had just sounded the trumpet. It says over in chapter 7 that he sounded the trumpet and over 32,000 men showed up to battle. I don't know about y'all, but if I stood up here and blew a trumpet and 32,000 people filled this building, I'd be pretty happy. Come on. I'd be so happy. Somebody get me a trumpet. No, I'm kidding. He was all excited about it and things went great. You would think that he would be floating on cloud nine saying, "Yeah, I'm the called of God. I'm going to do great things for God. I'm going to do some awesome things for him." But right behind that in verse 36, it says this: "Then Gideon said to God," again, this is right after all the people showed up. And in verse 36, it says, "Then Gideon said to God, 'If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said.'" There's that word, "if." He was doubting the call of God on his life already. It had just been days. And in verse 36, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand." Can I share something with you? And we should be on slide number 10, y'all. Doubt is a daily battle. Doubt is a daily battle. Gideon immediately went from sounding the trumpet to getting ready for battle to wondering if he heard God right. He went through all of these things. See, the victories and the successes of God had brought him through, that God had already brought him through, were already overshadowed by the doubt in his mind. I don't know about you, but there's been times where God would see me through the valley. And I would get through and I would have the victory. And then about a day later, doubt would try to creep back in and try to convince me that there's nothing different about me. Now see, I want you to notice though that he didn't doubt God, but he doubted his own ability. He said, if you will save Israel by my hand, let me say that again, by my hand. He wasn't doubting God's ability to save. He was doubting God's ability to use him. I don't know if y'all have ever done that, but I've sat on an altar before. I've laid on a bed before, crying before God. Amy and I talked about it the other day. There was a particular teenager at a certain place that we were ministering at that I don't know what it was about this particular teenager, but the longer I stayed and the more I poured out my life into this place, the more this person hated me, the more this person turned their back on me, the more this person talked about me and hurt me and hurt me and hurt me. And I laid on the bed crying before God saying, God, why me? Is this really where I'm supposed to be? Am I even called to be a youth pastor? Am I called to be a pastor? Am I even called to even witness to people? Because I can't even touch this teenager's life. I just sat there and wept before God saying, please help me. Help me. There was no doubt that God's deliverance... there was no doubt in Gideon's mind about the deliverance of God's people, just the tool that he had chosen. Doubt is the one weapon of the enemy that is constantly loaded and ready to fire at us. When you get up in the mornings, doubt tries to come in. Gideon's thought patterns of his previous life still had a hold on him. He said, I am less than, I am less than, I am less than. And that less than mentality held on to him and caused doubt to creep into his mind. Let's face it, we come out of battles where God comes through or where God uses us to do significant things for him, and we fight the same fight that Gideon did. It doesn't matter how great of a service we have. It doesn't matter how great of a witness we give. It doesn't matter how many times we pray with somebody. It doesn't matter how many times we lead in worship. It doesn't matter what happens in our life, the enemy is always going to come back at us with, yeah, but you're really not that good. Because if he can bring that doubt, see, God moves in us, moves around us, and even moves through us, and we leave a service on that spiritual high, believing in the power of God and his calling on our lives. Many times, by the time we get to the first red light on the way home, that feeling is gone, and the enemy has bombarded us with so many thoughts and doubts about that night or that service that we start questioning God and whether he really did something in our lives. Anybody ever been there? Or am I the only one that's a sinner in this place? Come on. If you have ever been involved in ministry or have served God for any length of time, the enemy has thrown doubt at you, making you question your call. Am I really making a difference on that worship team? What is my little tithe going to do to help this church and this kingdom? What do people really even care that I come to church here? See, that's doubt. And some of you have dealt with those questions. If God has really called me, then why do I have the struggles that I do? That's the same question Gideon asked. God, if you're really with us, then why do we struggle? You see, if the enemy can bring doubt to your purpose, he can delay your destiny. If the enemy can bring doubt, he can delay that purpose in you. He did it all throughout Scripture. Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say that to you? his first weapon that he used against Eve was doubt. Come on. In Numbers 14, the Israelites doubted that they could take the promised land. This is when Joshua and Caleb, they sent the 12 spies in. And the two guys, Joshua and Caleb, came back. Hey, we can take this land. We can take this place. We can do all of these things. But the thing is, the 10 other guys came back. Yeah, but we're grasshoppers in our own sight and in the sights of others. Why? Why do we want to do this? And they brought doubt into the place. What happened? For 40 years, they wandered in the desert. Why? Because of doubt. Elijah, after his battle on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings, he ran. He had just defeated over 400 prophets of Baal, and a woman chased him away. A woman named Jezebel chased him away, said, I'm going to kill you the way you did those prophets. What did he do? He brought doubt to his calling. He went and he hid underneath a broom tree and cried and said, God, just kill me. Just kill me. And what did God do? God said, listen. It's time for you to get up and start to move. It delayed the calling on his life because he was too busy, worried about himself. Even Peter, when he walked on the water in Matthew 14:31, it says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? It was doubt that caused him to sink, not the troubles he was in. In each one of these cases, doubt caused detours for the destiny. Don't allow the enemy's attack to slow you down and to force you into a detour. Seek God's face. Seek His will. Seek His desires for you before you act. Don't rely on the spiritual highs to determine your path. And don't allow the bullets of fear and doubt that the enemy fires to cause you to change course. God can only lead you as far as you're willing to trust, your trust will allow. I will. God will only lead you as far as your trust will allow. Now, that's been a theme for us, I think, for about the past 6 months, is trusting God. And I believe that God wants us to trust Him not only in this church, but in our own personal lives, in our own situations, in our own personal callings. Right now, there are people that are still being called of God, and you want to do great things for God, but you're not trusting what He's telling you. Let me tell you something. He's only going to lead you as far as you're willing to trust Him. And if you don't trust Him, you're going to be stuck right where you're at. Gideon could have thrown his hands up and said, I'm done. This doubt has grabbed a hold of me. He picked somebody else, but he didn't. Gideon made a request. This is where this passage gets difficult for me. Any of y'all ever read a passage that you really don't like? I'm going to put up both hands. I really hate the verses about fasting. So I hate that. I'll be honest with you. The verses about love your enemy, not too easy. The verses about sacrifice, not my favorite ones, y'all. This whole passage is difficult for me because of the way that I was taught when I was growing up. This is where this passage gets difficult for me because I've always been taught we don't ask for signs from God. You ever heard that? You ever taught that? You don't ask for signs for God. You don't say, okay, God, if you're really here, do this. That's called testing God. As a matter of fact, we see this taught by Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. He quotes the Old Testament scripture teaching about this. It says, Jesus said to him, again, this is when he was being tempted by the devil. Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So don't test him. So like your daddy's saying, don't test me, boy, because you're going to find out. Matthew 16, 1 through 4 is another teaching about this. It says, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. He did the mic drop. Boom. I'm done. You ask me for a sign, you ain't going to receive a sign because you can't interpret the ones that are already here. The problem is there was already plenty of signs of who he was because the lame walked, the deaf heard, the blind saw, and people were set free from demons. Those are all signs of the Messiah that was going to come. But they did not receive any of those signs. They said, show us something else. Entertain us. And see, that's what we're doing I'm not going to go there. I've got to get back. Are you with me so far? Is this making any kind of sense? I want y'all to stay with me here. Judges 6, 36 through 40 says, is where we get this phrase, laying out a fleece. You ever heard that phrase? Laying out a fleece. For time's sake, I'm going to paraphrase what happens. He takes a fleece and he takes it out and he lays it out on the threshing floor. It says, okay, God, if you really are going to use me to do something great, then I want this fleece to be wet and the ground around it to be dry in the morning. He goes to bed, gets up. It's exactly like he says. He picks it up, wrings it out. There's a bowl of dew. It is so much dew that he wrings out a bowl full of it. And he says, okay, well, maybe that was a little bit too simple. Because wool normally and fleece normally soaks up all the moisture that's around it. But if that fleece is dry, that's a sign from God. So he says, okay, God, if the fleece is dry and there's dew all around it, that is when I know that you're going to use me. And he went through that whole thing again. You see, God answered it. God answered him again. It seemed like more of a supernatural sign. What Gideon did get right, let me talk to you about what he did get right. Say he got it right. Is in verse 36. It says, then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand. I'm going to go back. Did you hear it? Here's what he got right. Then Gideon said to God. Did you get it? What he did right was he took it to God. He didn't take it to the armies. He didn't take it to his friends. He didn't take it anywhere else. He went to God with his doubt and he said, okay, God, I'm not sure about this. I'm bringing it to you. See, a lot of times we don't take our questions and our fears and our doubts to God. We take them to our fellow church members and we take them to our fellow family members and we take them to people at our work and we ask them, hey, what do you think about this? Should I do this or not? Should I teach this class or not? Should I date this person or not? Should I go here or not? And all these doubts, we instead of going to God and saying, okay, God, I need your guidance for this, we ask for guidance from somebody else. The thing Gideon got right was that he went straight to God. He went to no other person. No other person in that place. He went straight to God. When doubt arrives on the scene, we have to take it to Christ himself. I'm not saying that you can't ask advice from good spiritual leaders and guides. I call people all the time. But the first thing I do is I pray about a situation before I ever call anybody. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. In him my heart trusts, not in the government, not in a president, not in somebody that's in office, not in my boss, not in my finances, not in my banking establishment, not in any of those things. I don't trust in those. I trust the call of God on my life more than anything else. I trust his word more than anything else. Are you with me, church? Proverbs 3 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Listen to me, if you're doubting a curve or doubting an exit sign or doubting a place where you're supposed to be coming off and going off into an area of ministry, you don't need to call somebody and say, hey, do you think I should minister to this homeless person? Do you think I should talk to this person? Do you think I should minister in this class? You need to say, God, is it you that's calling me? Come on, are y'all with me? I'm a little bit more excited about this than y'all are. I can tell. Listen, when doubt arrived, he took it to him. But then The second thing he did it right, he did right, was that when doubt arrived, he was positioned properly. Gideon was positioned properly. Now, see, this is something I love because it shows that he was already thinking about the answer before he ever received it. Think back to when we first received his calling. If you think back 2 weeks ago, it was in verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11, where it says, he was in the wine press. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under on the terebinth tree in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press. Think back to when he received his call in the wine press. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was in the place that wasn't built for what he was doing. He was in the wrong position for the job he was called to do. He was trying to carry out duties he was called to do in the wrong place. But then if you look over in Judges chapter 6, verse 37, it says something different. We look over at where he met with God and where he actually spoke with God. It says this, "Behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on what? Not the winepress floor, on the threshing floor." He had already moved from the place where he wasn't supposed to be during the harvest and moved to the place where the harvest was going to be plentiful, where he was supposed to be in the first place. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does this make any kind of sense to you? Because he had already, he took the call of God in his life when he was in the wrong place, and he positioned himself to where he should have been all along. Church, listen to me. When we receive the call of God in our life, we need to position ourselves where he has called us to be, whether we doubt it or not. The Bible even says earlier that they went up to meet them, indicating that they went up on the hillside. They went up to the high place. Gideon was done hiding. He was done hiding from the call of God. He had put himself in that high place. He had put himself in a place where the battle was going to take place. And he was prepared for battle before he ever got the answer. Can I ask you something? Are you prepared for battle today? Even though there's doubt in your mind, are you still prepared? Gideon acted on what faith he had and what belief he had, and position himself for battle before he got his confirmation. We cannot defeat doubt while cowering in the wine press. We have to be where we're positioned, where we're called to be. Stop asking God for a sign of destiny while holding or while hiding. Your step of faith and positioning of your heart could release the presence of God you need to fulfill your destiny. Now, I'm going to answer this question. Are we supposed to ask for a sign? Anybody ever asked that question before? I've asked it before. Because there's times where I want to know that I know that I know that I know. I've always made a joke about this, that God has to speak very plainly to me. That's why I don't pray in these and thous, and I don't have very flowery speech. I'm just a good old country boy that gets up there and spouts out what comes out of his mouth. Sometimes it gets him in trouble. But I get up here and I just say what I say because that's the way I talk. And I've always said, if God wants to tell me something, he's got to talk to me very plainly. As a matter of fact, there's times where he needs to throw a brick and hit me in the head and just say, "Do this." That would be so much easier, y'all. So much easier. Now, next week, if I see y'all walking in with bricks, we're going to have issues. But are we supposed to ask for a sign? I'm going to say this. We are never to put God to the test and challenge his authority. We're never to challenge who he is. We're never to challenge if he can accomplish something. Because my Bible says all things are possible. My God is the one that spoke words and brought life into existence. My God is not limited by anything in this world or out of this world. So I don't look at God and say, I doubt that you can do this. And if you can do this, then I want to see a sign. We're never supposed to challenge that authority. We're never supposed to look at God and say, okay, God, if you are real, make the chair float. If you want me to tithe, God, then let me win the lottery. Come on, y'all. Y'all laugh, but there's people that do that. If I'm really supposed to tithe, God, then let me win the lottery and I'll tithe. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter if you win the lottery or not. If you're not tithing and sowing seed into God's word now, you're not going to do it then, because you can't live on what God's got now. I'm going to listen, I don't preach on tithing very often. I want to say this. God is more capable of using the 10% to bless you than you are of using the 90% to survive. God can do more with 10% than you can do with 90%. Let me put it that way. See, if you really called me to teach that children's class, then let the pastor say something to me, or let somebody ask me personally about it. No. That's challenging God's authority. Speak to God and say, yes, Lord, your servant's listening. If you really want me to go into full-time ministry, then open this Bible to the right passage, and we take that Bible with you. And we look at the verse and it says, hide thyself in a cave. Okay, I'm not supposed to do ministry. That's not a sign from God. I know there are times where we've played that game before. When I was young, I did it, and God had mercy on me. There was a couple of people in one of the churches we were in that they would go and they would sit in their car. They would sit down in this car, and they would have a basket full of goodies, snacks, and all that kind of stuff. And they would say, okay, God, lead us to who we're supposed to give it to today. Give us a sign of who we're supposed to give it to. And they would wait for a cloud to pass. I'm dead serious, y'all. And they would follow that cloud driving through town. Y'all don't laugh at me. This is true. And they would wait until they think that that cloud was hovering in an area, and they would go in there and they would give somebody a basket. You know what? If that's how you deal with God, that's great. God speaks to you in that way. Awesome. God told me to love the unlovable and to care for those that are in need. If I see somebody in need, they're going to get my care, whether I've got a cloud over their head or not. We don't have to have a sign to know who we're supposed to minister to. The Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you with me? Stand with me today. What I will tell you is this. I do believe that we as a people rely on certain things to give us direction in our lives every single day. Every single day we do that. When we pray about a situation, when we pray about a decision, or we pray about anything that we are asking of God, what do we expect? We expect an answer. So in an essence, every time we pray, we're asking God for a sign. Because there's times where we go, God, I don't know how you're going to get me through this. But I know you are. Just give me peace. That peace is a sign that we're asking for. Are you with me? When we pray about that situation, we expect certain things. God, I pray for this situation to happen or that to happen. I pray for peace over this situation. I pray for your will to be done and that you would protect me in this situation that I'm in. This particular scripture tells us that God is patient with us in our times of doubt when our faith is not fully developed. Why does it tell us that he's patient with us? Because God let Gideon ask him for a sign 3 different times. He said, if I'm found pleasing in your sight, wait here. God, if you're really going to save Israel through me, then let this fleece be wet. And thirdly, let it be dry. And God never once corrected him. If you feel the need to lay a fleece out before God, make sure it's God. Make sure it's God. But I got to tell you this. Remember this about Gideon. Gideon had just begun his relationship with God again. His faith was not grown yet. Can I tell you something? If you've been serving God 40 years, 30 years, even upwards of a year or two, and you're still asking God for fleeces, your relationship is not growing at the pace that it should grow. Because there comes a time where you don't care about signs anymore and you just say, God, whatever happens, I trust you. Your calling is true whether I see it or not. Another reason why I say God is patient, and I'm closing, I promise. Another reason why I say God is patient is because Gideon is even mentioned in Hebrews in the Hall of Faith. And it says that even in his weakness, he was used. Church, you may not be strong in your faith yet, but God can use your weakness to make a difference. God can use your struggles to impact others around you. Are you doubting the call of God in your life? Know this, he doesn't doubt you. He doesn't doubt the love that he has for you. When you do doubt, take it to him. But also position yourself. Keep in mind that you need to grow. Amy and I, when we first came to Calvary Temple, we prayed and we stepped out without a church to go to, without a job promised to us. We didn't know whether Amy's job would be able to transfer or not. We didn't know anything. And we said, okay, God, we put it in your hands. And we trust you. We didn't really lay out a fleece at all other than the fact that we said, give us peace. And if you want it to happen, make it happen. 2 months later is when I got the phone call to come back and to preach for you guys. And to possibly come in and be your pastor. In that whole time, I didn't doubt the call of God on my life. There were times where I'm going, okay, God, you're going to have to provide. You're going to have to take care of this. But I always knew he was in charge. And I took my problems to him and nobody else. And I positioned myself in a place to where when he did say go, I could run. Are you positioned in a place where you can do what he's called you today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, today I pray over this place that God, those that are doubting their call, that those that are doubting the love of a God that cares for them and knows them and sees them and looks past their situations. God, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, you would remind them that you have not forsaken them. You have not left them. And that God, they don't need to doubt whether you love them or not, because that love has been proven by a cross with nails. God, in the name of Jesus, those that you are calling to ministry, God, I pray that you wouldn't, that they wouldn't doubt that call. But that, Lord, you would let them know that you have called them with purpose and with reason. Don't let that doubt delay their purpose. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this room, and I have to do this every single service because this is why we're here. If you're in this room, and number one, you're just doubting whether God really sees you. Maybe you have put out a fleece and you said, God, if you're real, then I want this to happen. Here's what I want to tell you. God sees you, He knows you, and He's called you to be His own. He sees the struggles that you're having. He sees the doubts that are in your mind, and He doesn't hold them against you. But He says, bring them to me and trade them with me because my burden is light. If you have those doubts and you want to lay them at the feet of Jesus today, then I just invite you to raise your hand real briefly and pull it right back down. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to ask everybody, this is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to ask everybody to take the hand of the person next to you for just a moment, if you're comfortable doing that. If you don't know that person's name, I want you to find out their name real quick. Because whatever they're struggling with, they need prayer this morning. And I want you to lay a hand on the, I want you to grasp their hand. I want you to start praying for them right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for the person on the right and on the left of us, whoever they are, whatever they're going through, whatever the situation is in their life, the things and the doubts that have been brought up by the enemy, the things that have been brought up by the enemy to try to keep them from following you and keep them from doing your will. God, in the name of Jesus, we speak faith and we speak peace over those doubts. God, in the name of Jesus, the ones that are struggling in their own personal walk with you, they're struggling to understand if you're really God, then why did this happen to me? Why did this abuse happen? Why did this disease grab a hold of me? God, in the name of Jesus, remind them that they are not beyond your sight. Don't let them doubt who you are.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.